little bit distracted this morning, so it's going to take Robin a while to catch up on all the scriptures. I never even gave them to her, so that's on me. But Isaiah 59, starting, it's just three verses, 19 to 21. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. And a redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. Amen. Unless you're in a coma this morning, you know we are living in very challenging times. And yet the Father's expectation is that you and I, plural, challenges. I would be happy if I had just one challenge to face, but you and I know that there's often more than one thing that we're dealing with in life. Instead of crying uncle, we need to cry Jesus. We need to call upon the name of the Lord, from whence cometh our help. And remember, it's so easy for the enemy to hoodwink you and you feel like you're alone. It's one of his biggest weapons, biggest lies. You know, you have your immediate family, those you live with, those that you're related to, but you have the greater body of Christ, and you also have this family right here to be with you. You need to remember that when the pressure is on. But most importantly, which we heard in the song rotation this morning, you have the strength and grace from being in relationship with Almighty God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we always have a choice of how we respond. Sometimes we think, well, this is how I feel, and this is how I respond. But we always have a choice. Really, two choices. Responding in faith and victory, or fear and defeat. Those really are the two basic choices that we have to make every single day. I love the book of Romans. I hope you do too. Romans 8:28. For we know, we, the people of God, know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Doesn't matter what things look like, my friends. God will bring something good out of it when we stay with him, stick with him. Call upon him. Trust him. Romans 8:31. For what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Or who can be against us? I I know that a lot is going on in your lives, and I don't even know all of it, just what I catch wind of or the Holy Spirit tells me. I know it's a lot. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is faithful. He's good. I was sitting yesterday, a song came to me. And it wasn't a Christian song. It was a song written by Bobby McFerrin, made popular by Bob Marley. Don't worry. Be happy. You remember that song? Maybe you need to hear some of the words this morning. There's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Is there truth in that? So don't worry, be happy. You got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord says your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Here, I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy. Don't worry, be happy. And it goes on and on and on. You ain't got no cash and so forth. But don't worry, be happy, because when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down, those around you. So don't worry, be happy. We need to be reminded of Bible truth. Because he says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, give thanks. That means even the stuff you don't volunteer for, the hard stuff, because God has a purpose in it. And we have to trust him in it and through it, that he knows what he's doing. So don't worry. Be happy. You know, the enemy, what he means for good, God turns around, what he means for evil, God turns around and makes something good from it. And, of course, when all the water broke loose, I had to be 1,500 miles away in Florida, and everything fell on Kathy. Joe was in Wisconsin, came in, Rich were at work, and she called me, and I said, you can handle it. I wasn't stressed out about it. I wasn't rattled, because I know God is in control, and this is his house, and he will see to it that everything is taken care of. And it didn't matter if I knew what the extent of the damage was or not. I know because it's his church, he will redeem the situation. If it isn't his church, we should just pack it up right now and put a for sale sign out on the road. Really. The title of my message is, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Let's look at how God deals with the enemy or your adversary on your behalf. You know, in some sense of the word, I felt helpless being in Florida. And by the way, it was not a vacation. It was a babysitting assignment. My mom is really declining both physically and mentally. And that was very sad to witness. But anyway, I went to the Lord, and this is the verse that I got. I'll have to have a little talk with the Holy Spirit because I don't read King James, but sometimes he speaks to me in King James. And so the verse I got was Isaiah 59:19 in the King James, which says, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit raises up a standard." So prophetically, he was speaking about not only about the sprinkler system that let loose up in the attic here, but also any and every challenge that you and I have in our life, both present and future, because, you know, we will have challenges. But the Bible says, through God we shall do valiantly. It is Him who treads down your enemy. And then the song says, so let's sing and shout the victory, for Christ is King. Amen. So, five things I see in this passage, starting with verse 19. What happens when the enemy comes in like a flood, when he comes against you, when he devises evil and chaos and disruption in your life? Number one, he defends and drives out the enemy. He defends you and drives out your enemy. The Holy Spirit is alerted and activated to aid you and assault the enemy, literally to come against the enemy. What that verse really says is put the enemy to flight. Put his tail between his legs and hightail it out of there, to put it in a paraphrased English. Psalms 21:11. Though they intended evil against thee and devised a plot, they will not succeed. And verse 12, for thou wilt make them turn their back. Send them packing. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Another verse says, in time of need also. Psalms 3:3. Actually, the key verse there is verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. But probably do well to read the whole psalm. I didn't give it to Robin. It's not on her. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no deliverance or help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, are a shield about me, and the glory, and the one who lifts my head. Thank you, Lord. So we need to believe and declare the word of God over our lives and over our challenges as well. And this would be a word to speak in time of trouble, testing, distress. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 11. I'm going to read it in the J.B. Phillips. This priceless treasure we hold, so to speak, in common earthenware, to show that the splendid power of it belongs to God and not to us. We are hard pressed on all sides, but we never are frustrated, puzzled, but never in despair, persecuted, but never deserted. We may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. Every day we experience something of the death of Jesus so that we may also show the power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours, and so forth. It's a very powerful passage. Don't be naive. There's always spiritual warfare going on. You can't see it. You may not even be able to feel it other than oppression or something of that nature. But it's always going on. There's always a tug of war between good and evil going on. You know, I think we pray sometimes, or we don't call it a prayer, but you know, we say to God, "Give me a break," to paraphrase it. In other words, can I just have one day with something I don't have to deal with? And God says, "You and I can conquer this." So, my friends, you may be knocked down, but don't stay down. Pull your pants up and get back up and start walking again for His glory. Secondly, how does God help us when we're assaulted by the enemy and circumstances? The Holy Spirit is alerted and activated. It says, the wind of the Lord, getting back to Isaiah 59, verse 19, which the wind of the Lord drives. In other words, that the plan that God has for the fulfillment of his will and his purposes in you and through you, through these struggles, the Holy Spirit is driving that, is pushing that forward to victory. The Amplified says it put the enemy to flight. The King James says he lifts up a standard. The Holy Spirit lifts up a standard. We're not without responsibility in this. It's a partnership. That's what covenant is, and we'll talk about covenant in a moment. But it's a partnership where we pray, we unite our spirit with the Holy Spirit, and something happens. I would say the most numerous occurrences of praying and the moving of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is in the book of Acts. I just retrieved a couple of them. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Acts 4:31, And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And they all began to speak with boldness. And it doesn't say it there, but they were speaking what the Holy Spirit was giving to them. That's also very important. Not just speaking with boldness, but speaking what God gives you. Because then it's going to get the desired results that God wants. When we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, when we obey the leading of the Holy Spirit and speak what he tells us, even if, or especially if, you think it doesn't make sense. Don't rely on this. It won't get you very far, my friends. You need to cultivate a hearing ear and be more aware and responsive to Holy Spirit. And then it'll become more and more upon your tongue, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Not just when you feel the blessing, the hand of blessing extended on your life, but in the midst of your stuff, God is good all the time. Number three, Jesus gets involved. It says in verse 20, Isaiah 59, and a redeemer will come to Zion. Well, Zion is a place, but it's also a people, God's possession. It's referring ultimately to the body of Christ and to you individually within that body. So Jesus gets involved in your situation. To redeem means to buy back, to liberate by payment, to ransom. So in the traditional sense there, it's talking about sin, of course, and how he redeems us from sin and the power of sin as well. But it's also both past sin, present sin, and future sin. But it's also talking about his availability and his power to perform marvelous things when the pressure is on. That unstoppable God that we sung about, the God of the impossible. I mean, I like this, but I have a funny feeling that God does this too. God also liked George Papard in the A-Team when he said, I love it when a plan comes together. You understand that that's his heart? When he sees things begin to move and be transformed and redeemed in your life, he's like, yes, that was my plan all along. But the issue is not whether God's available and whether God's power is sufficient. The issue is, how do we respond? How do we deal with stuff? Do we grumble, complain, and so forth? Or do we praise him? Do we trust him? Do we thank him in advance for the victory? We need to cultivate a hearing ear. When you are helpless, you're never hopeless, is what he said to me yesterday. Sometimes you may not want to raise your hand and admit it, but we feel helpless. I mean, this week Kathy felt helpless. I felt helpless. What can I do when thousands of gallons of water are cascading down from the attic all through the walls, all through the buildings, and so forth. Most of you didn't see it, but there was 2 inches of standing water in the basement, among other things. All because a little part about this big on the joint connecting pipes let loose. It wasn't a fire, but the system did what it's supposed to do. It was as if the sprinkler head was saying, there's a fire, I need water. And the water came. We were helpless, but not hopeless. You understand this? Our hope is in Him. And personally, Romans 5:6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Even now, you know, when we mess up or when we're struggling, God doesn't wait until we've attained perfection. We have it all together before He'll come to our aid. We just simply need to say, I need help. I need you. I trust you to get me through this. Galatians 4:4-5. And when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons or daughters. And because sons, He sent forth his Holy Spirit to reside with us and in us. And it goes on, by which we can cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. So we need to ask for and allow Him to help us. He can do it, and He enables you to do it. Or in other words, for you to do your part in this partnership that we call covenant, which leads us to number 4. Father keeps covenant. Verse 21. And as for me, this is my covenant, He says. This is my covenant. It's not going to take the Holy Spirit away from you, like David cried out in Psalms 51, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's a good psalm to read again and again and again. And He's not going to renege on that deposit of Him, that deposit of God that identifies you as belonging to Him. He's not going to pull the plug on it. He's giving you a message. He's giving you words, tells us here, verse 21. My words which are in your mouth shall not depart from you. You know, it's not talking about the gift of gab. Some of us are never at a loss for words. This is talking about or referring to the words that God has given you, that are within you, that treasure that 2 Corinthians refers to, 2 Corinthians 4. The very word of God that is resident in you. That you have a message, you have a word to speak to those that you encounter day by day. And part of that word is God is good all the time. So the Father keeps covenant. Covenant, in a legal sense, is a binding agreement or written agreement or promise under seal between two or more parties for the performance of some action. But when it says, this is my covenant with them, his children, his sons and his daughters, he's not only covenanting with you, with his word, but he's making a covenant with you by his very self. He commits himself and all that he is in a covenant relationship with you. And though you and I may break or violate our covenant with him, he will never, never break covenant, because that's who he is. He won't do it. He can't do it. It would violate his very nature to do it. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. It doesn't matter if you know or are aware of things that God has spoken over your life. That's what it's talking about. You don't have to hear it. You don't even have to know what it is. Because when God's word goes forth, his power goes forth at the very same time to bring it to completion. It will succeed, God says. It will accomplish that which I have sent it for. And so we just have to continue to believe by faith and stay in tune with Holy Spirit. And we'll just watch that word be worked out in our lives and in our loved ones as well. That's the very same process when we speak over our children or over our spouses or over others when we pray. That very same power, when it's in agreement with this precious word of God and the will of God, power goes forth. Because you have authority to speak the word. Also, Deuteronomy 30:14, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. And I would even add, and obey it. So we need to stay in covenant relationship and become one with the Father. And this is what Jesus talked about in John 10:30 and John 17:31. He said, I and the Father are one. And this is his design, that in the same sense we become one with the Father. And number five, your future is declared and secured. This is a good one, where he's talking about his spirit will not depart and the word will not depart from your offspring and from your offspring's offspring. You understand what he's saying, what this is saying. You pray prayers over your children and you don't see anything happening. Am I the only one who's a parent out there? It's not apparent that anything is happening. Seeing if you're awake. But it is in the spiritual realm. And in God's timing, and as God aligns people and circumstances, that word will be found true. And God will get the glory. So your future is declared and secured because of the Spirit and the Word of God not departing from your offspring. It literally, that word means your seed. Your bone and flesh. it ends both from now and forever. Sorry, I didn't want to omit that. Both now, presently, and forever. It's a process of working it out in your life and in the life of those you love and pray for. Jeremiah 29:11. God speaking. You know, we would do well to speak the things that God speaks over us. I know, he says, the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So when things look dark, when you're struggling, when you don't understand, you don't look at what's going on. You don't rely on what you're feeling. You look from whence cometh your help. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of Glory may come in and work his handiwork. Work something beautiful from your mess. It's only your mess, not in the sense that you created it, but you're experiencing it. It's impacting you. You don't see a way out. Sometimes that'd be another way of putting it. But God does. Your way out is Jesus. Your way out is him. So God will do his part, but we must come into agreement and alignment, spirit to spirit, will to will. And we need to declare Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those of you who have people you pray for in your family, whether it's children or relatives in that sense, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a prayer that you can pray. God is good all the time, my friends. Not just when the blessings are flowing, when things are plentiful, when your health is good, when everything's going your way, as the song says. He's good then, too. But your enemies are his enemies. You got to remember that. Your challenges are his concerns. Your needs are his joy to provide or supply. And we need to live a life that speaks to those around us that God is good all the time. And you also have to understand, so this is part of our part. The chapter designations are made by man, not necessarily by the writer. So Isaiah 59 goes right into what your Bible calls Isaiah 60, but it's really an entity, because it tells us, the end of 59 tells what God's going to do, but Isaiah 60 tells us what he expects us to do. Do you have that? Or do we have it up there yet? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth. Any darkness out there in the world right now? And deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you. and his glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. God is good all the time. And I felt like, not that it doesn't happen quite a bit, but I felt like the worship lineup today was all in preparation for the word that God had given me. So I wanted to close with one of those songs as well. I was just smiling as we were singing it. I don't know the actual title of the song, but
Great in Power.
Great is the Lord.
Great in Power
is the actual title. So I'd like to sing it together as we go out. I would even ask if you're having some challenges that you're facing, that you just come up. I'd like to pray for you, and others on the prayer altar ministry will pray for you. But sing it as a prayer to God this morning, and give those things afresh to him, which he's well able and well willing to conquer with you.